I want to do two things here today. I want to address some unhelpful approaches about reading scripture, and then give you what I hope will be some helpful ideas that you can run with.
We've all heard the old joke that goes, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer, of course, one bite at a time. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, welcoming you back to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Today, as he continues teaching God's people God's Word, Don will show us that beginning a lifelong study of the Bible doesn't have to be a gargantuan task if we'll just apply a few key baseline principles and study methods. And Don, it really is important to start off on the right foot when it comes to studying and understanding the Bible, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly right, Bill. You know, there are people who say that the Bible is hard to understand, and yet many of the people that say that have never even made an effort to study the Bible or even to read it cover to cover one time. How can you criticize a book as being difficult to read if you haven't even tried to read it for all that it says? Well, if that's you, my friend, I have good news for you. Today's broadcast is going to give you practical hints to get started in reading the Bible and growing in your understanding of it. Whether you're new to Scripture or a longtime student of it, this broadcast will help you handle God's Word well. And stay with us today on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's begin today's lesson right now on the Truth Pulpit.
What I want to do is to give you some things that you can take and run with. This is not the final answer of anything. This is just something for you to take, adapt, use to your own purposes, but to give you something to put a little bit of shoe leather on what we've said here, rather than leaving it in a realm of principle without giving you something to help you know how to go forward. So I want to give you two unhelpful approaches. Again, just trying to dial in a little bit more closely to get the radar zeroed in, lasered in on something that will hit a target for you. That's what we're looking to do today. What is one unhelpful approach to avoid? And almost all of this here, I think, is born out of my own personal experience over time, over the years of being a Christian, a lot of failures, some things that have worked for me. And so that's kind of what informs this here today. First of all, what is unhelpful? Don't do this. Random reading of the Bible. Random reading of the Bible. And what I mean by that is don't do this with your Bible. Don't just open it up at random, and wherever your finger falls, that's where you decide to read for today. That's not helpful. And to pick a verse, people do that with kind of a mystical, superstitious idea that whatever their eyes fall on, that that's the Word of God that they have for them on that day. And that's not right. And when you connect this to the other things that we've said, you can see why that would be wrong, because that violates the interpretive principle of reading Scripture in context. We don't just open it up and randomly pick up a verse. I mean, look, let's say that was your approach and that's what you wanted to do, and you were down and discouraged, and you opened up your Bible and you read Matthew 27 verse 5, and you forgot about historical versus didactic material, and you read that Judas went away and hanged himself. Is that God's Word for you in your depressed state? Is that God's guidance and leadance for what? No. That's absurd. And you recognize that that's absurd. But understand that the randomness of falling on that particular verse is no different. The principle shows that you can't read the Bible randomly. It wasn't meant to be like that. It's not some kind of cheap eight ball that you buy that has eight answers to questions that you answer. We're not to treat Scripture that way. And so don't read it at random on the assumption that God's going to speak to you that way. That's not a mature approach to Scripture. Understand this, by contrast, that understanding Scripture, becoming a student of the Bible, takes time. There are no shortcuts. And so don't go for superstitious shortcuts. That will only delay things and lead you away from the truth. Understand that you should read the Bible in a systematic way. We'll have some things for you to do that with. But don't do that. Don't open the Bible at random. It would be better not to open the Bible at all than to treat it like it was some kind of Rubik's Cube that you were going to play with. We honor God's Word. We respect God's Word too much to treat it in such a shallow fashion. Now, another variation that I remember keenly doing, because I was almost trained to do this as a young Christian, another variation is where you read a chapter of the Bible one day, and then the next day you go to a completely different passage from another part of the Bible the next day. And so I have journals that I wrote where I was doing this under a particular method of discipleship that I was going through. And you look at it, and the readings were completely random. I'm making this up. I didn't go back and exactly look at it. It was like I read from Ruth chapter 3, and then I went to Matthew 16, and then it was 1 Chronicles 7 or something like that. And just bouncing around like a pinball going nowhere, that's not a good way to read Scripture. Again, it is not reading Scripture in context. Now, let me tell you why people do that. Let me tell you what they're probably looking for as they do it. They want a shortcut. They view God's Word as something to help them in that day. And so they're looking desperately for something that will stand out, a light that will flash and warm their hearts and say, oh, this is for today. Well, that's not a good way to approach Scripture. Scripture is given for higher purposes than to simply give you a little emotional bump to get you through the day. That's putting yourself at the center of Scripture, rather than putting the author's intent at the Scripture and saying, I need to understand this, and recognizing that reverence for God's Word means that it's going to take some time to develop. You know, there's a reason why college degrees take 2 years, 4 years, master's degree a total of 6 years or 7 years, doctorates even longer. It's because the world's education system realizes that there is a sustained education that is necessary to reach a valuable goal. Well, we don't need 7, 8, 9, 10 years before we can begin to understand Scripture, because Scripture is clear and we have the Holy Spirit. But in terms of what your goal is with Bible study, this is what you want your goal to be. You want your goal to grow so that you can become a more mature student of God's Word than you are now. And randomly choosing things at random simply to get something that makes you feel good at the moment, that's not a mature way to deal with God's Word. We need to respect it more than that. And so that random approach fails to concern itself with the question, what did the biblical writer mean when he said that? And rather is asking the question, what helps me today? You need to recognize the distinction and give yourself over to a respect for God's Word that says, I'm aiming my life at understanding what the Bible means by what it says, rather, and let that encourage me as a secondary benefit, rather than saying, this book is here to serve my emotional desires. There's more to it than that. That's not helpful. Don't read the Bible in that random way. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, here's another unhelpful approach. And that is this. It is to set unrealistic goals and to try things that are unrealistic. This is the complete opposite end of the spectrum to what I just described. A weekend like this comes with certain built-in risks, certain dangers, maybe you could say, that could cut against your long-term spiritual well-being. The temptation is to set goals and to have other people define things for you about what you should do in a way that's really not realistic for you to obtain. And listen, having no idea, it was very tempting to ask people two questions. I don't want an answer. I don't want you to raise your hand. But it would be very interesting to know, first of all, do you read the Bible on a consistent daily basis? Or at least 5-6 times a week? Is it a regular part of your life? And another thing that would be interesting to know is a question that I've already forgotten before I could get it out of my lips. So let's just say there was only one question that I had in mind. Maybe the question is how many of you have started something with a desire to study Scripture and you had a big plan laid out and you got into it 2-3 weeks and you failed and you just set it aside, say, I can't do it anymore? Well, look, there's reasons for that happens. In the pull of an emotional moment, or, you know, there's a lot of information given and you want to act upon it, that desire to act upon it is good. But the thing that I think that is really important to avoid is setting up a goal that you can't keep. That's not helpful. That's not profitable. And here's the thing. If you presently, with a pattern of consistently reading Scripture already, you are probably not going to succeed with an overly ambitious plan to begin with. Think about it like this with me, if you would. Runners train to run a marathon over time. They start out and maybe they run a mile or two, and they build up their endurance to go 5 or 6 and then 10 or 12 and, you know, then 20, and then they're ready to run that 26.2 miles. But you build up to it over time. Not a one of us could just jump off of the couch, having just finished off our third bag of potato chips because the ball game was over, and then we say, okay, well, I'm going to go run a marathon. That's not going to work. You're hardly going to get out of the driveway before you come back and say, you know, there was a fourth bag of cheddar and sour cream that I might as well finish, and I'll pick this up tomorrow. You understand all of that. You understand all of that. We'll realize that developing spiritual disciplines is something that you grow into and you do by little acts of faithfulness over time, rather than saying, I'm going to go run a marathon. And your spouse looks at you and say, you're 40 pounds overweight. You're not running any marathon. You're not ready to do that. Let's start with walking around the block and seeing how that goes. Well, listen, and I debated whether to do this, but it needs to be said because I care about your souls, and I want you to succeed going forward here. There is a system of Bible study that's suggested by outstanding men that suggest something like this. And the idea is that you should pick a Bible book and you should read that same book every day for 30 days. And then while you're doing that, you should read through the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, and be reading through that on a daily basis. When you finish the 30 days with the one book, then go to a large section and read like 7 chapters of a gospel for a period of time, 30 days. And, you know, after 3 years, you've gone through it all and you'll really know the Bible. Look, that's a great plan. That would be awesome if you would do that. I experience teaches me from my own failures and from that of others that I know that have tried that turns out not to be too realistic. That what happens is that people find that life doesn't necessarily care to conform to your daily Bible reading plan in that manner. And vacations come and people get sick, or you're caring for elderly parents and there's just not the opportunity to do that. And what you would aspire after turns out to not be realistic because life forces you not to. And while you set the goal, you have to set it aside, and then you feel kind of guilty and like a failure in it. I don't think that's spiritually helpful. And to try something like that, to aim that like that's what you're going to do, if you're not already in the habit of daily Bible reading, I would encourage you to set your sights a little bit lower. That might be a perfect goal, But if it's unattainable, then what's perfect about it? And rather than aiming that which would impress your friends and pastor, why not aim yourself at something that's good and attainable that you can sustain over time? That's, you know, to me, that just seems to be the way to go. And so collectively, corporately, let me just say this. What we want to do here today is we're kind of viewing this corporately. My assumption is that some of you are not consistently reading the Bible. Oh, I know what the other question was. It finally popped into my mind. You think I was stalling just till it came back. I would be interested to know, again, no show of hands, but I'd be interested to know how many of you have actually read the entire Bible. You have read through the Bible cover to cover, like Genesis to Revelation, or you've followed a pattern where different alternate readings, and it took you all the way through the Bible. I'm sure that some of you have. I'm guessing that many of you haven't. Well, what I want to do is I want to meet you at that level ground. I want to meet everybody there and say, you know, let's save the grandiose plans for another time in the future. Right now, let's meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ, meet together in this living room setting, so to speak, and say, where can we get started and start moving in the right direction and not despise a more modest goal because it's not so great. It doesn't seem so lofty. It doesn't seem so challenging and demanding. Not to despise it because, you know, not to despise the good, something good, because it's not perfect. And so that's what we want to do here. That's what's informing my perspective here. And for some people, what I'm about to propose, this is going to seem elementary. But for most of you, or at least many of you, I suspect that what we're going to have here is a step forward. And that's what I want for you. I want you to take a step forward. You don't have to run a marathon, but let's get up off of the couch and take a walk around the block and start there. And if we start there, and then we can grow from that and we can build on that momentum. That's my perspective on it. And so what I'm about to say is this. Just a little recap. Some unhelpful approaches. Don't do the random reading and don't set unrealistic goals. Be mindful of where you're at now as you set goals going forward. Now, here's the deal. What I'm about to describe, it's not a prophetic pronouncement. This is not, what I'm about to tell you is not, it is not. I realize all those double negatives risk canceling it out in the English grammar, but you know what I mean. You appreciated that, didn't you, Colton? Because in Greek, you can multiply negatives and it just emphasizes, it doesn't negate each other. What I'm about to say is not, thus saith the Lord. That's not the spirit of it at all. This is thus saith Don. That's all. And it's not the final word on this. It's not the only way to do it. These are just things that have helped me over time. And not only that, I hear this comment often. I want you to know that these are things that helped me and that I used before I ever became a pastor. When my schedule was like yours is now, and you know, you're up at 6 and you're home at 7 at night and 12, 13 hours, you know, and there's not a lot of time to sit down with 10 commentaries and, you know, sort through a whole, you know, complicated passage. I get the fact that some things can be unrealistic. And so I'm trying to speak from that kind of experience. These are things that have helped me. These are things that I have done. These are things that have been useful to me, and I think that they'll help you too. That's the modest spirit in which I offer these things to you here today. I know that what I'm about to describe to you is absolutely attainable, and that's what I want for you. So, let's move to our second point, some helpful ideas. I gave you, at first, some unhelpful approaches. Well, here's some helpful ideas, and I think I have a total of three. Three helpful ideas for you. First of all is this. Use what you already have. Use what you already have. Okay? And so don't start by saying, okay, I've got to go out and buy 10 books that I've never had and never seen and just go on a reference of somebody that I've never met, and I'm going to buy those books. You know, if you do that, You'll make the publisher happy, the author will get his royalties, but you probably won't do a whole lot with that kind of material if you just start out like that. Start with what you have. Jesus said, "He who is faithful in a little thing will also be faithful in much." Look to be faithful with what is in front of you now and start there rather than trying to immediately become somebody that you're not. And so here's some ideas on how you could do that, to use what you already have. Here's one. Well, let me just say this. In God's providence, and by your own choice, you attend a teaching church. Our emphasis in this ministry is to teach God's Word, and that's where you find yourself. Well, let your church's pulpit help shape some direction for you. This is very simple. Periodically read the Bible book that we're preaching from on Sunday mornings. You know, we're teaching through Ephesians. Well, what a great thing it would be if once a week, every other day, twice a month, pick the frequency, I don't care. You just read through the book of Ephesians and you kept the message of Ephesians fresh in your mind. And the words of the text are fresh in your mind when you come in to sit down on a Sunday morning. Well, if you're doing that periodically and things start to stick from where you're, from your own reading and from the preaching of the Word, and then the book of Ephesians starts to really build into your life rather than just coming in cold and, you know, you're trying to remember what was said the prior Sunday. That's perfectly attainable. Ephesians, you can read that in 15 minutes. That's one place to start. Another thing that you could do is read the midweek text before you come in. You know who reinforced this to me and who I was thinking about as I made this point? Little Sophia Dergue, seventh grader, talking about our children's ministry. You want to know what our children's ministry is at Truth Community Church? Well, here's an idea of it. Here's what happens. I had talking to Sophia on the step during our last Sunday evening fellowship, and I'm sorry she's not here to say this, but it'd probably embarrass her if it did. I said, "Sophia, how are you doing spiritually?" She said, "I'm doing really good." And that little sweet spirit that she's got. I said, "Yeah, tell me about it." And she said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible. And you know, one of the things that I do is that I, when you're preaching through the Psalms, I read that Psalm before I come on Tuesday night. And so I'm reading that Psalm and then I hear you preach on it and it really helps me." I thought that was just so sweet and that's so perfect. And for you here today, that's so attainable. To just read the Word before it's preached on so that it's set in your mind. If a seventh grader can do that, you can surely do that too. And that's a simple thing to do that will make the preaching of God's Word in your chosen church more effective in your life. So start there and just engage your heart in what your church is teaching. Well, you know, that's a good place to start. That's one way to go about it. Now, for those of you that drive a lot, or maybe you're a busy mom and you don't have a lot of time to just sit down and read, and you like to listen to sermons, good for you. That's a good thing to do. I assume that you're familiar with the ministry of John MacArthur. Good. Keep listening to John. You should also check out another teacher that maybe you're not as familiar with. Some of you are. But the online sermon library of S. Lewis Johnson is a teaching resource that you should take advantage of. S. Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, late pastor, former pastor, and seminary professor at Believer's Chapel in Dallas. His doctrine is consistent with ours, although his style is different from mine. He is a trustworthy source that I respect. You can feed yourself God's Word by going to trustworthy men like that and listening to them as other things are going on. Let me just say one other thing. As you're choosing who you listen to, and you can't listen to everybody, let me just say, look for, in terms of who you listen to, look for Bible teachers rather than people who are simply commenting on current events or simply focused on single issue matters. Look for someone who's teaching you the full counsel of God in order for you to be a student of God. You know, today's headlines are going to be tomorrow's newspaper that wraps up the dead fish. And so keep in mind that you're looking for an eternal perspective rooted in the whole counsel of God, rather than somebody who's simply giving you commentary that you probably already agree with on modern political issues or whatever. So use what you already have. You need an eternal perspective from the whole counsel of God, not simply a view on headlines, which are going to change tomorrow.
That's Don Green, bringing our study to a close for right now here on the Truth Pulpit. Friend, if you'd like to hear today's message again, or you'd like to share it with a friend, just go to thetruthpulpit.com. Again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. We'll continue in our series called Effective Bible Study next time with part two of today's lesson. I'm Bill Wright, hoping you can join us then as Don Green continues teaching God's people God's Word here on the Truth Pulpit.